Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We want to keep the conversation light. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about how many dark conversations there are. It's like every thing that are coming, people trying to, one way to elevate yourself is to be able to begin to speak negatively.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and a politician or somebody begins to run for office and they start talking about how bad the economy is or how bad this is. And it's just kind of the political season where all these ads come on television and it can make you think, my goodness, it's, you know. Mm-hmm. But in regards to no matter what happens in politics, no matter what happens in the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of God, you know, is totally different. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We can exist in no matter what the environment is. Right. And we will, you know, the kingdom will exist. And Jesus said this. Jesus said that when he was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he said that when Satan talked to him, he said, what did he say to him? He said
something.
Yeah, there you go. He said, the kingdoms of this world, if you bow down to me, I'll give them to you.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't call him a liar. Because mm-hmm. he knew that when man fell, man gave the authority over to the adversary here on earth. When one man fell, everybody fell. Mm-hmm. And so in that, when somebody's trying to define the kingdom of God by the kingdoms of this world, you're totally missing the whole paradigm. The kingdom of God is greater than the kingdoms of this world. You know, even it's greater than America, believe it or not. It's greater than America. I know it's kind of hard for 5% of the world's population to be able to know that. But what I believe and what I've seen and what we've talked about, how America got here and how we stay here, is America came about because the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God came first in regards to the United States of America, mm-hmm. and the founding, supposedly, of America was when people found God and they wanted to have a relationship with God. They wanted to worship God. And in that, down the road came this country, one nation under God. And so when we say, hey, you got to separate the kingdom of God from the kingdom of America or the kingdom of Mexico or whatever nation, that's not a negative thing. Because if the kingdom of God thrives in a nation, the nation will be blessed. I mean, if you bless Israel, you're going to be blessed. If you bless God's folks, you're going to be blessed. Mm-hmm. But when evil folks rule, it's just people grind their teeth and just, you know, it's dread for them. So I want to talk about during today's program about kind of like untwining the kingdoms of this world from the kingdom of God, because to begin to talk about conversations outside of that is so many Christians today begin to see it based on the kingdom that they're in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They start, well, how does that fit with the political party system? And how does that fit in the Constitution and all these different things? And it's like, it don't have to fit. You know, it doesn't have to fit. If somebody changes an article or an amendment in the Constitution, it doesn't change Jesus, man. Right. You know, it doesn't change the Word of God. And we would want, by the way, things to stay the way they are in the Constitution. That's, you know, that's what this country was established on. In the context of that, though, it will only stand if the church will stand, if we'll understand we need to preach the kingdom of God, not the kingdom. We're not called as Americans to preach the kingdom of, as Christians, to preach the kingdom of America. We're not called to preach the kingdom of Mexico. We're not called to preach the kingdom of Spain. We're called to preach the kingdom of God.
Right.
And this will free you up, because when you start talking, we've talked about a lot of things, you know, on VFN TV, the daily radio program. But if you're hearing them from a perspective of the kingdoms of this world, you know, as an American Christian instead of a Christian American, mm-hmm. you know, it may be kind of hard for you to see how that's going to work. But outside of whatever was going on, I mean, think about this, you know, and we'll just kind of stay on this, you know, but I will also be talking about today, hopefully, about what's taking place in Israel with the Jerusalem Post says that the president is meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, on Monday. Trying to put himself out there to say, listen, because he hasn't been involved and he wants to be involved and show himself involved in this framework of this John Kerry peace treaty that had been going on. Kind of makes you want to say, the president wasn't involved, and now he is involved. Who was involved in this? Mm. What was going on? He's the one we elected. You know, we want him there to be able to what? So in the context of that, when you just think about it, a kingdom, when you think about the kingdom, this is what Jesus says. When somebody tells you, go out there because the kingdom's out there, or go over this way because the kingdom's is there, or the Lord's out here, or the Lord's out there, he said, listen, don't do that. Don't listen to him, because the kingdom of God is inside of you. When you're a believer, when you accept Jesus Christ, the King himself, his spirit comes to dwell inside of you. Mm-hmm. So wherever you are, that's where the kingdom is, the kingdom of God. So when he says, go spread the kingdom of God, go preach the kingdom of God, it's like we're kingdom containers, and we'll go somewhere and we'll preach the kingdom of God. And he says, when you see them, preach the kingdom of God is near. And the reason why the kingdom of God is near, it's in you. That's why it's near. It's not near because there's a cloud hanging over their head or there's some angel appearing to their left arm somewhere. It's because you showed up. Mm-hmm. You're a kingdom container. Christ is in you. And so when you're saying to them, the kingdom of God is near you, and you begin to share with them the testimonies of God and the salvation of the Lord, I mean, there's a chance that they too may make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. The kingdom of God then would come inside of their hearts, and now they're a kingdom container. I mean, that's how the kingdom of God spreads. The kingdom of God does not spread, you know, by taking over political systems. It doesn't spread by having your own country. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about Dowie and how he wanted to have Zion City, you know, north of, I guess, Detroit or Illinois or whatever. And he just saw, you know, we didn't have our own city. And they literally developed their own city. And he's one of God's generals that Robert Slurden writes about and others write about. Mm-hmm. A powerful man of God. And he kind of thought, well, we just need to establish our own. And it was allowed, by the way, at that time in America. And the reason why it was allowed was because the Constitution says, you know, you can do that. There's freedom of religion. You can ever how you want to express yourself as long as you're not violating someone else's constitutional right. So he built a whole city. Think about that. Wow. So can you imagine people freaking out today going like, yeah, we're going to establish a city, you know. There's Pat Hamilton Boulevard, Pat Hamilton Circle, Pat Hamilton Drive, you know, and 2nd Street.
Right.
No, but really, I mean, and so when you think about this, that, so the kingdom of God, and what is the kingdom of God? He says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these different things that we need will be added to us. Mm-hmm. The people that don't seek the kingdom of God, but seek all these things, clothes, housing, shelter, stuff, jobs, without seeking the kingdom of God, he says, pagans, people that don't know God does this. That's not different. What's different for believers is we seek the kingdom of God. And there'll be a day that the new Jerusalem and the new earth and all will come, and the old will go away and the new will come. But up until that point, the kingdom of God dwells in the hearts of men. And so the way you change government, for example, is you change the government inside that man or woman's heart by preaching to them Jesus Christ. You don't go there and strong arm somebody in the name of Jesus and enforce something over on them who don't even know Jesus, because they're just going to make a political pandering if they do. You just go tell them about Jesus. And once Jesus is inside of their heart, dwells inside of their heart, and the kingdom of God is inside of them, and if they search out and seek the kingdom of God, then all of a sudden, the way they're going to lead the land, the way they're going to lead your school board, the way they're going to lead your school systems, your counties, your cities, your sheriff's departments, your police departments, and all that stuff, they're going to lead it in a way that God would lead it, because they're going to be convicted or, you know, be unctioned along. They're going to spend time in the Word of God, and God's going to... And it's just amazing. And so when you're seeing all these things take place today, what you're all the only thing you're seeing shaken right now in America is the kingdom of America.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you're seeing so many Christians screaming and hollering because they're so intertwined with the kingdoms of this world instead of the kingdom of God. Because one particular Baptist leader, I forget, I can't tell, we had him on our program. I don't have it. John's not here to be able to say his name, but he's in the leadership. He said, for years we've been, you know, preaching America and giving away Jesus for free. And he said, this is good that we're being challenged like this, because we got to get back to preaching the kingdom of God. And it makes such good sense. And you're not worried. You're not concerned until you see the kingdom of God being affected in the context of that. And so the only thing that can be shaken will be shaken, you know, and it will be the kingdoms of this world. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. When Satan offered him to be a leader of any kingdom or all the kingdoms of this world, mm-hmm. think about it. How many people say, you know, we just got to get, you know, and it's great when godly leaders get in place. It's wonderful. But that's still man. And we want that. We want godly leaders. But the fact is that, but the leader of the kingdom of God is Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And when we're right before God, he says, listen, I hold the king's heart in my hand. I direct him like a water course. I direct him like a water course. And when we get back from this break, we want to be able to talk about that, because what makes me think about it makes me think about Esther and the Jews and what was taking place, and how we need to respond to kingdom authority. The kingdom of God responds to the kingdoms of this world. But just thinking about the kingdom of God versus the kingdoms of this world, it'll free you up when you're thinking about, you know what? I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. I am, Pat, think about this. Think about this. We're part of the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. and we just happen to be in America, and we want to be a good, loyal American citizen and live within the laws and all those different things, but mm-hmm. we'd still be in the kingdom of God if we were in China.
Yeah.
That's important to understand, because some people think their life is over. That's why there's hardly any missionaries leaving America, because they're thinking like, you know, it's not like God's saying, don't send missionaries, don't go into the field. He says, mm-hmm. get thee up and go into all the world. There's so many Christians define their walk in the kingdom of God based on the kingdom of America. And I was talking to this South African pastor just recently, and I truly believe it too, that America is a leading nation. It's a forerunning nation. It's a light. And I was talking to a particular lady that was talking about that God has, you know, predestined plans for America. But listen, he does for Israel too. Israel went through some serious times of trial and testing, and so it's everything subject to, will we follow God? You know, will we honor God in the context of that? And mm-hmm. one way to do it is to think about, don't worry, this, the kingdom of America will stand if we focus on the kingdom of God. Because mm-hmm. he says, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what he said, seek first. And so think about this. And we took the citizenship test for America, and it's like, man, are we even seeking the kingdom of America, right? I mean, how many things we didn't even know in the context of the citizenship test?
There's a lot of things.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the question is, you know, is that how we are in the things of God? Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And it makes me think about, you know, what do you do when a king is against you? What do you do when government is against you? And it makes me think about Esther. Mm-hmm. You know, Esther was a Jew, and there was all this whole spiritual plot, really, that manifested physically through Haman, you know, to be able to come against the Jews. And the JJ always applies, you know, what's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to, you know, JJ, which is the Jews and Jesus and this whole thing. Even if it's ice cream, ask the question, what's going to happen to JJ? You know, what's going to happen to JJ? And the biggest way I've noticed is the way that things are being dealt with is the enemy wants to give you stuff. He wants to be able to do something for you to convince you that, hey, I'll give you all this great stuff. And you will, and we'll take care of you. And next thing you know, you're in a train going down to some camp somewhere with the chemical showers, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to pay attention, because, you know, the enemy will win you over by blessing or cursing. He'll win you over by giving you stuff or taking stuff from you, whatever gets the desired behavior from you. Mm-hmm. And people have to get the buy-in. People have to get the buy-in from it. And so, which is pretty cool, because then it's like, hey, let's just don't buy.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, my question was regarding this sanctity of life and abortion and partial birth abortion. what is a physician's stand when he performs abortions or she performs abortions, considering the fact that they took the Hippocratic Oath, which says they will do everything in their power to withhold and sanctify life?
You know, the fascinating aspect about that is I watched the testimony and participated in the trial in New York, and in that particular case, they don't really care about what their oath said. They believe that there's an unfettered, non-restricted right to abortion at any time during a pregnancy from the first month to the ninth. And they see no distinction between even the child who's outside of the womb and that abortion taking place versus one that's in the first month. They look at it all the same.
Visit us at aclj.org.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel, and we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about, you know, a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment.
Ooh,
barbecue.
A taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I can tell you, this man came in. He's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
So it makes me think about Esther. It makes me think about how Esther, you know, was at the right place at the right time, and her uncle came to her and said, listen, there's a huge plot coming against the Jews here. And the king had already issued an edict. He issued a law that said, okay, we are going to kill the Jews. We're going to deal with the Jews. We're going to exterminate all of God's folks here because of lies. But, you know, somebody says, well, that's a lie. But they're still going to kill you. Does it matter whether it's a lie or not?
Yeah, right.
It's like, well, that's not true. But they're still going to kill you. They're still going to, you know, so it doesn't matter. I mean, the outcome matters. Mm-hmm. And so here, this king is already issued an order because of the lying things that have come to him about, you know, you got to do with the Jews because the Jews are going to whatever. And so he's issued a law and said, we're going to deal with them. We're going to kill them all. And so then of all the particular things or take away all their stuff from them and all those different things. What did they do? Did they go to the king and just say, you know, we need to give him what he wants for his political party? Did we go and wine and dine the king and do, you know, make, give? No. What they did was they did not seek the kingdoms of this world. They did not even seek the king. The very king, the very one who issued the order to bring destruction to God's folks. And so many people right now, instead of praying for our president and praying for our Congress and praying for our governors and praying for our leaders, I mean, come on. I mean, you could go there and lead and you're not. Mm-hmm. Pray for them and then seek God. Because this is what happened. Because they sought the Lord, and this is what they did. They went and sought the Lord. They went and sought the Lord and humbled themselves and prayed. And they just sought the Lord. And so God said very specifically, it makes me think about one particular scripture in Proverbs when he says, well, first of all, it makes me think of Romans. Hmm. You know, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. When Paul's writing under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he says, listen, all authority is established by God. I mean, all authority. Mm-hmm. This very king that issued this edict against God's folks, God was in control of this dude. He said, all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God has established. He doesn't bear the sword for nothing. He's there to punish the wrongdoer. He's God's servant. And it's like, this guy's evil. He issued this order. Yeah, but somebody lied to him. Somebody had this whole plan. You know, Satan did his thing and convinced folks and took them captive to do his will. And next thing you know, people are plotting for position and trying to take down. And they didn't like the fact that people didn't bow down to him. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, they were lying to this king. And so God, understand, you cannot change someone by as a Christian. That's not your goal. You don't want to force a situation. You want God to be able to direct their hearts, because what he says in Proverbs 21:1, he says, the king's heart is like a water course, and he directs it wherever he wants to and to whoever he wants to. So that king, he was just, imagine this river's flowing through his heart, and all of a sudden this dude comes up and starts lying to him about God's folks. And so all of a sudden that guy changed the direction of the flow in this king's heart against God's folks. They didn't go back and say, listen, this guy's lying and this is what's going on. They first went to God and they sought the king and his kingdom. And they prayed and they fasted and they just said, you know, God, we're going to appear before the king, but we know that you are God. You hold all things in your hand. And so now they're going to, after they spent time with God and they put things in the proper perspective, God's in control. God's in control here. And he's the one that's going to direct that king's heart one way or the other. So when they appear before that king who was against them, the flow was against them, the current was against them, that all of a sudden, God, to their amazement, because even approaching this king, if Esther could have died even approaching this king, mm-hmm. but God touched this king's heart. And as soon as she shared what was happening, after she sought the kingdom of God, she spoke to the kingdoms of this world, and God changed the water course of that heart, that river in that man's heart. And it just, the opposite happened. And the very ones that were plotting to destroy Israel, who lied to the king, who changed the direction of his heart, God changed it back. And the very gallows that were put up to be able to hang, you know, one of the Jews, mm-hmm. he got hung by it. And it's like, how many people right now are trying to go to the kings and go into your Congress people and your governors, and you haven't even gone to God? Mm-hmm. I mean, according to George Barna, 19% of, was that 19%? 19% of.
Sounds right.
Yeah, like 91% of Christians in America don't even pick up their Bibles. Don't even pick it up. I mean, that's not seeking the kingdom of God.
No.
And then out of the 19% that pick them up, only 3% even read their Bible and listen and apply it to their life. So only 3% are operating like Esther operated. But we're wondering why the king's heart and leaders' hearts and government's hearts going in this whole different direction. Could it be that we're not seeking the kingdom of God, but we're looking at the kingdoms of this world? Mm-hmm. And the more you look at the kingdoms of this world, it's just crazy. And it's supposed to be. I mean, it's not operating under God. That's important. And you think, what's wrong? It's like, they're not seeking God. They're not the very one that's holding all the earth together, the one that's putting everything together, the breath in their lungs, and designed everything, and looking over everything, and not far from everything. And us, you know, they're just ignoring him or avoiding him or denying him. So it's not going to go well. It may go well for a season, but it doesn't go well for a long period of time. And so what you find out through that is like, you know, Esther kind of set an example for us when we as Christians, you know, to be able to approach, you know, what's going on. But then when he issued the edict was so powerful, because this is what he did. He says, you have authority now. I'm going to give you authority, Jews. The very ones that, you know, take you out. Now mm-hmm. I'm going to give you authority. You can defend yourself. You can annihilate the enemy. You can take their plunder. I mean, think about that. Not only did he turn things around, but he gave them authority. And it makes me think about Matthew 18:18, when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now I give it unto you. Go, you know, and preach the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and make disciples of the nations. And then it makes me think about, you know, Mark 16:19, he says, in my name, drive out the authority. He's given us that. And it also makes me think about, you know, Ephesians 6, you know, he talks about 12 and the power of God and the might of God and the armor of God. And the shield of faith, which you can annihilate and destroy all the works of the enemy, and the sword of the spirit. I mean, God has done this. The edict has been issued in the kingdom of God now, not the kingdoms of the world, mm-hmm. to deal with our spiritual enemy. And this is what the king did when his heart got changed in Esther 8:11. He says, the king issued an edict, granted the Jews in every city the right to gather, to assemble, to protect themselves, to destroy and kill and annihilate any armed forces of any nationality or province that might attack them, women and children, and try to take away their things and to be able to take their plunder. Our enemy is not a physical enemy. It's a spiritual enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, as he talks about in Ephesians 6:12. And understand, but God's given us that edict. He's given us that authority. But if we're thinking about the kingdoms of this world and not the kingdoms of God, we're kind of depressed and we're sad and we're thinking about what do we need to do and whose sign do we need to put up on our eyes? Like, what are you doing? All right. We need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And kingdom means king's domain, having the authority, the dominion of God in our life. So I want to encourage you today, when you look at what's happening in the nations, in the world, and in government and leaders, begin to seek the king and his kingdom. And then once you hear from God and get that peace, go forward and preach the kingdom of God in boldness. Appear before that king and say, here I am. And then speak truth after you hear from God.
The $50 Eye Guide, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guide today so you can see. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
In a time of great peril, the light of liberty grows dim with every passing day. Listener, your nation needs you this summer in Washington, D.C. My name is Rodney Howard Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America, to be held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. You, your church, your youth group, we're calling all the believers to come and be a part to help take JC to D.C. Your nation is counting on you. July the 1st through the 19th will be nightly meetings held at the DAR at 7 p.m. and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Admission, of course, is free. Come and celebrate America's heritage, her 238th birthday, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, who acknowledged firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. If not now, when? If not you, who? Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. That is CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
Don't just go, No. That's already been done. That's a finished work on the cross of Christ. And they said, but now consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great what? Boldness. These guys are praying for boldness. Ain't that something? They didn't pray for protection. They didn't pray for a ticket out. They didn't pray for all this, pray against people. I'm just amazed when you hear the church like, that's your brother. You can't pray like that to their father against them. That he ain't gonna like that. You can't pray against the church, like Lecrae says, you gotta love her. She's the church, right? She's got her issues and stuff, but you can't come against the body of Christ. Saul found that out on the way to Damascus, didn't he? He found that going and he says, why are you hurting me? Why are you coming against me? And so he says, don't consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through your name, the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And what they're saying is like, God, crank it up a notch. Isn't that awesome? It's like, yes, I love that. It's like, where everybody go? They ran. No, this is the time to get in and say, this is it. Crank it up, God. This is the time to fight spiritually. Fight. Preach in the name of Jesus.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I want to talk about, in this last few moments, with Wisdom Moment after this, about sleeper cells. You know, sleeper cells, when you think about them, that particular statement became popular with Al-Qaeda and different Russian spy agencies. And of course, we probably have sleeper cells as well as other areas. But it's people that just live amongst you that go to school with your kids and have a house beside you. And they're waiting for a moment where they get a phone call from Putin, or they get a phone call from, you know, the president of Iran, and all of a sudden they kick into a different mode. All of a sudden they're no longer, you know, your neighbor or whatever, but
sleeping anymore.
They're not sleeping anymore. They wake up and they're called sleeper cells. And then all of a sudden they do something. As a matter of fact, I think there was a sleeper cell in your neighborhood in New Jersey. Remember that?
Less than 6 minutes away.
Less than 6 minutes away. And they caught them before they woke up. They caught them before they woke up. And a sleeper cell is somebody that means to do somebody or something harm, but they're just kind of hiding. It's sort of like a virus in your body, you know, waiting for something to kick it off. Mm-hmm. And of course, no matter whether it's a physical harm or what, it's all based on spiritual things, because Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and principalities and powers and evil things. And even if it's people, for example, that are going to be activated as a sleeper cell, they're driven by an evil spirit wanting to do evil or harm. But the truth is, there's a lot of sleeper cells in the church. There's a lot of sleeper cells of people who, you know, they go to, they listen to the teachings with you. They go have dinner with you, maybe they dress like you, they go to the little functions like you, and all these different stuff. But all of a sudden, out the middle of nowhere, they are activated, and it's like, you're trying to kill this. What are you trying to kill? What are you trying to do? Why are you talking about the pastor that way? Why are you talking? Where's this coming from? And because that we're sinners saved by grace, we got to be very careful that we ourselves don't become sleeper cells that are basically a lethargic sleeping church. And how, you know, sleeper cells, I mean, think about with you know, staying, you want to stay rightly related and connected, and you want to stay on the front lines of fighting. There's no sleeper cells when you're in a war. You're fighting side by side, you know, with your fellow soldier. You're in the same foxhole. You're fighting the same enemy. And you're kind of safe in those concepts. But the people that stay off the front lines, the ones who criticize those who are fighting the good fight of faith, that are out trying to do what God's called them to do, in that midst of that, that's very dangerous that you can become a sleeper cell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think about, you know, there was a moment where Peter was a sleeper cell. The plans of God was being unfolded. Jesus was obeying everything that the Father told him to do. He was about to go to Jerusalem for the next aspect of it. And suddenly, you know, suddenly Peter began to say, don't go to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. I was like, where did that come from? It was such a powerful hit that Jesus said, you almost changed God's plans on earth. That's huge. That's totally huge. And there's so many sleeper cells. There's people that hang out with believers, that dress like believers, act like believers, sing songs as believers, but they're not. They're like sleeper cells. And I remember I've been in a lot of different businesses in my past, and And there's some people that just got in the business because they wanted the social life. They wanted to be a hang around people. And it's like, go sell something. Well, you know, I'm like, why are you even, if you're not making money, why would you want to even be here? And they like the social life. There's people that just like hanging around. But when it comes time to it, Jesus said there'll be a time when everybody will be separated like wheat and weeds and wheat. Or there'll be a time when it's like sheep and goats. There'll be a separation of the sleeper cells, you know, and the ones that aren't. But understand that you got to guard yourself and don't be shocked when all of a sudden a neighbor of yours starts saying and being used by the adversary to stop or destroy what's going on. And I'm telling you, you'll be blown away if you don't catch this and realize this. And Jesus, you know, knew that Satan was attempting him not to do the Father's will, but maybe you wouldn't know it. Maybe you'll just turn the whole ship. Maybe you'll change the direction of your life, not realizing that has to be because these people were my neighbors. They have to be good people. They have to be good people because they go to the same schools that we go to. They used to go to the same church gatherings we go to. It's like, no, if that's not what God says, that's a sleeper cell. And we're going to talk more about that, but I really believe you're going to see those start popping up in the church culture as God begins to move in this day. And you're going to see if we don't pay attention, you know, we could turn the whole thing.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making it. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news. You know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I mean, I'm just, you know, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
I remember when I had to hire folks for employment and fire folks. And I just never liked doing that.
Yeah,
I was so uncomfortable, man. Yeah. I would stay up all night. I mean, it was the most difficult thing in the world for me to do. I mean, just could not do. I was horrible at it. And I think I was more nervous than the person. They were like, it's okay. It's all right. I understand. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. And I used to work with a gentleman at one time. He was like the general manager at one place I worked, and I was another manager, and we would we had to, you know, fire some folks. He would have me come in the office with him, and we would speak to the employee, and he had such an amazing way, or interesting, interesting way of
unique.
Yeah, unique. That's a good way. Unique way of letting people go, firing them. When he'd say like, Pat, listen, I brought you in here to the office. I want to talk about your performance, and I just want to let you know that we appreciate your efforts here at the job and what you're doing. But as of right now, we're terminating your employment, and we appreciate you giving a good effort and trying, and thank you very much. And if you need anything else, you know, please feel free to let us know. But we're, you know, thank you very much. And he'd walk out,
short
and
sweet,
and they look at me like, did I just get fired? I'm like, And they were like, okay, you know, and right. It's like, wow, just like that. And he was able to do it. And I'm just sitting there like, oh my goodness.
Smooth. Wow. That's so smooth.
And it was interesting. And the key phrase here is that we're terminating your employment. The employment. So they're able to save face because they can say, hey, you know.
Hey, that's right. Hey, they got rid of my job. It wasn't me after all.
I feel so much better that I didn't get fired.
It was my employment.
But
my employment got terminated.
My job got removed from me from it.
Oh my goodness.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Sorry, I had to make some adjustments.
I like the intro, the hello is just so profound, you know. It's me again, Ethel.
Well, last time.
oh, it's the hello and then the oh. I'm messing with you. Go ahead.
The last time talking about how... so you're going to do it to me today. All the finger pointing signs, numbers.
What?
Yeah. Oh, Chris, talk about it now.
Oh. Right. Oh, no, that's right.
I'll shut down.
Does his mic go out? I think his mic went out. Okay.
No, really. You know, I talked about how, you know, how faithful God is, you know, despite our circumstances and everything that goes on in front of us, that God is faithful. You know, he is there. God is with us. Mm. And I was reading again in Psalms, and David is writing, he says in Psalms 5, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sighing, listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray in the morning. O Lord, you hear my voice in the morning. I lay my requests before you. And wait in expectation.
Oh, wow.
You know, and...
Good.
You know, are we crying out? Mm. You know, this is what jumped out at me. Is like, I know so many times in my walk, you know, I go back and I look. There's been many times that, you know, I didn't cry out or I didn't ask. I didn't go before God with my request. Mm. You know, I started looking, you know, to myself. You know, instead of looking to God, but he is so faithful. He continues to be faithful, and he's there, and he's waiting for us just to cry out to him. It's just in the morning I cry out, you know, every day. And then when you cry out, you wait in expectation that he's going to answer.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Right.
That's faith, isn't it? It's like, yes. I didn't cry out just to cry out.
Right, right.
I cried out because God heard me, and he's going to answer.
Right. And then he goes on to say,
and he does say, you know, broken and contrite heart, he does not turn away from. So it's crying out, it comes out of a broken heart, doesn't it?
Mm. Right. Yeah, definitely. Wow. Definitely. And he goes on to say, but by your great mercy, I will come into your house in reverence. Will I bow down toward your holy temple? You know, but it's by, you know, God is so merciful that he gives us the ability to be able to come into his house, you know, to seek him and to bring those requests before him. He's given, you know, he's opened that door for us to be able to come in. And then it led me to in Luke chapter 18 of where Jesus talks about the parable of the persistent widow who came before the unrighteous judge. And because of her persistence, you know, he granted her request. Mm-hmm. Further on towards the end of that story, of that parable, he says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Mm. You know, and it was just like, do we have faith enough to cry out and to ask him and waiting for expectation that he's going to move on our behalf, you know, and that...
Turn to God, not to everything else.
Right.
And he is the answer. Say, dear God, if you don't move, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then wait expectantly.
Right.
and reverently, you know, where in the new covenant, we are the house of God. So no matter where we are, we can be humble and be reverent towards God, knowing not that you are the temple of God. And then understanding with expectancy that he is, you know, going, if we persist and don't say, well, you know, I cried out once, nothing happened.
Right.
That's good. Yeah. That's so good. Just keep asking and asking. And ask until you receive. Believe that you're going to receive it and profess it.
Right.
You know, profess it. That's a good word.
Very good.
That's a very, very good word. Well, and, you know, right now we got to turn to God and not Google.
Right, exactly.
We got to turn to God and not ourselves. We don't need to turn to our jobs and we don't need to turn to our jobs. We don't need to turn to those type of things. But we need to be able to turn to God in everything that we're doing. And it's, you know, and it's important, you know, learning to cry out towards God. I had a lot of things going on at the same time, trying to get things together here. But the that's so meaningful, because no matter where, you are, if you are a believer, God is with you. And his spirit dwells inside of you. And the glory of God is released. It's really not brought down. It's brought out from you. And to release the glory is for you to begin to have your faith stirred, where all of a sudden Christ in you begins to just manifest around you in people's lives. That's why you have a group of believers together and you begin to worship and give testimonies and share God's word. And the faith is just built up, and it's not like God really comes down. It's God comes out from amongst you, and all of a sudden now he's ruling, you know, in your midst, but it's God being released from you. That's why we're like God containers. And he says, you know, I want you to go to where I send you, and I want you to preach the kingdom of God is near. And the reason why it's near, it's not because of a building is near them. It's because the kingdom of God is within you. And because the kingdom of God is within you and you are close to that person geographically, now the kingdom of God is near them.
All right.
You know? Yeah. And that's what's so exciting about, you know, what Chris is sharing here, that, you know, then we can cry out to God at that very moment and people can turn to the Lord. And at that moment, they can receive Christ. At that moment, Christ in you could be Christ in them as well, because they can invite Jesus. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're thinking, I'm hearing this right now. I didn't realize. I thought it was a building up the street. I thought it was a cathedral. I thought it was this. I didn't realize that God wants to live inside of me.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to take over my life and forgive me and redeem me and bring me to the life that he had planned for me from the when he knit me together in my mother's womb. I didn't realize that. Well, if that's you, listen, cry out to him where you are right now. Cry out and expect him to answer, because if you do, he says, those that call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. And understanding that, and you can find out more about how to meet the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, at meetmyfather.org. But understand this, at this very moment, crying out in expectancy, Lord, save me, deliver me, set me free, bring me out of this situation. God, fix my marriage. Lord, help my children. God, touch my finances. God, change the church in America. Change this nation, God. I mean, God hears those things. You know, we don't know when he's going to respond, but understand he hears those prayers and he'll answer.
Yeah. It's like, you know, was in my Bible time, I was reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 about Hezekiah. Chris, it's just, it's amazing how it just kind of all goes together. But the word says that after all Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. And sometimes, you know, we think an attack or something going bad is because, you know, maybe something's wrong with us. Maybe you're coming under attack because maybe you're doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Probably. That's you know, I mean, why would, think about it. If you're our, if you're a spy for the bad guys, they're not going to mess with you.
Yeah.
Unless you turn good.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So you're doing the right stuff, and all of a sudden things are coming against you. And so here the king of Assyria is trying to wage attack on Hezekiah, and Hezekiah's like, he starts consulting his officials. He starts moving in wisdom. Maybe he's listening to the wisdom moment, just joking, but he was, you know, applying to some wisdom in his life and getting his officials and cutting off water supplies and doing all these things. But then the king of Assyria, as he's getting closer, he starts to send messages to Hezekiah, and he sends messages to the people, that he's ruling. And it's all this just negative, just attack, and where's your God, and is God going to be able to deliver you? And we've conquered all these other lands and all these other gods, and is your God really going to be able to stand there for you and protect you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Word of God says in verse 10 that basically, you know, Hezekiah started encouraging his people. And this is so important because, you know, when you're facing something, no matter what it is, you got to have a vision to come on out. You got to know what God's word is saying. You got to see your way out of this. And in verse 7, rather, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there's a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Listen, if you're trying to fight this battle all alone, if you're trying to do this within your own strength, you know, strength against strength, the enemy will beat you every time, flesh to flesh.
Right.
But if God is on your side, and he is, if you're a believer, you've made him the Lord of your life, the Lord's going to fight this battle for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then talking about crying out, exactly what you just said, Chris, Hezekiah begins to cry out to God. He begins to cry out to the Lord and watch the Lord intervene on his behalf. And in verse 20 says, King Hezekiah, the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and the officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land disgraced. And even when he went into the temple of his God, little G God, some of his sons cut him down with the sword. And it's like, look, all we need to do is cry out to God. All we need to do is seek the Lord in our situation, not respond with the arm of the flesh, not to listen to the voice of the enemy. And it's so important because Hezekiah, right from the very beginning, started to cast vision. He started to speak over his people. If you're called to lead a group of people, if you're a leader in your own family, if you're a parent, it's so important that you share the word of the Lord with your family, that you would share the encouragement. Because if you're not speaking to your family, if you're not leading, believe you me, the enemy is. And oftentimes the enemy can't beat us. Why was the king of Assyria trying to attack them with their mind? You know what I'm saying? Like with accusation. Because maybe he couldn't beat them with the arm of the flesh. Even though he had a vast army, he was trying to get in their head. He was trying to put these lies in there.
That's where a lot of people get confused, that when you look at David's life, you know, David was fought so many physical wars. He used his body so much, his mind so much, his skills so much that God defined him as, "You're too bloody to be able to build my temple and let your son build it." But he was a man after God's own heart. It was wars that he had for him.
Right.
But yet, every single victory he ever had in battle, he understood God gave him the victory. And he would seek the Lord. He would abide with God and seek the Lord before he would actually go to that battle. And God would say that, "I want you to fight this one and I'll give you victory." Well, a lot of times where we have difficulty in turning to ourselves and turning to God, because we're physically involved at the job, at the workplace, at we're getting involved in things, sometimes on our carnal nature, we have the tendency to take credit for it. You know, and God has a way of reminding us, like he did Nebuchadnezzar, that it's actually him. Yeah, and just because we're involved in it, listen, he's given us the air to breathe. He's holding our cell together, our bodies together. This universe is just... it's amazing. We're going to talk about some things probably tomorrow about going deep. It'll scare you when you realize how in control God is, because things can happen so easily, and it'll cause you to humble yourself and want to be able to serve the Lord. But understand, you cry out to God and you pray, but faith without works is dead. So you're going to do what God says, but you're not, even though you're doing something and you're going back to your job again, don't trust the work of your hands. Trust the Lord who blesses the work of your hands. Don't trust your home to keep you safe in a storm. Trust God who can stop the storm and prevent the storm from affecting your home. Don't trust the money in your bank account or your wallet. Trust the Lord who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, think about it. So getting involved in the process, you don't want to pray and then you're seeing yourself start to do something, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, well, I thought God was going to answer, but thank God I took over. And, and I went out and got this job and I sold myself and I did this and I did that. And it's like, you can take credit for it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's all God. The fact, the question is,
all God.
Are we going to acknowledge him? He says, this is what he says in Acts chapter 17. He says, you know, that I did all this, including the very time, seasons, and your address, and put you there just to see if you'd reach out for me, though I'm not far from you. That's the whole thing. Will we acknowledge? Will we acknowledge the Lord? Will we let that?
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come and get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us. Is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, right. But you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let mm-hmm. the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?